Hey everybody, this is Kevin Best at thedowars.com, and I'm here to talk to you guys today about this really cool paper with the title of Evaluation of Resveratrol, Green Tea Extract, Curcumin, Oxalic Acid, and Medium Chain Triglyceride Oil on Lifespan of Genetically Heterogeneous Mice. This is part of the Aging Interventions Testing Program from the National Institute of Health, National Institute on Aging. Each compound is tested in parallel on three different sites on genetically heterogeneous mice to check if the health span or lifespan of these mice is increased. So three separate replications. And they say it's the goal of the ITP to publish all results, negative or positive. We published the results here of lifelong treatment of mice beginning at 4 months of age with each of five agents, that is, green tea extract, curcumin, oxaloacetic acid, medium chain triglyceride oil, and resveratrol on the lifespan of these genetically heterogeneous mice. Each agent was administered beginning at 4 months of age. None of these agents had a statistically significant effect on lifespan of either male or female mice by log rank test at the concentrations used, although a secondary analysis suggests that green tea extract might diminish the risk of midlife death in females only. Okay, so I'm not gonna get into the details of this. It's just really interesting because it demonstrates very clearly that resveratrol does not work, right? And it demonstrates the other compounds don't work either. Curcumin, oxaloacetic acid, green tea extract, medium chain triglyceride oil. They don't have any effect on longevity. They don't improve or increase longevity in these mice. Okay, so what does that mean? It means that this whole bill of goods about resveratrol that were sold, that's a longevity promoting agent. And we should even just like review that real quick, because we'll do that later, but it's important to run through it now, actually. So Certrus is a company that David Sinclair sold for $720 million to GlaxoSmithKline. And he said stuff like this, he said, it's as close to a miraculous molecule as you can find. 100 years from now, people will maybe be taking these molecules on a daily basis to prevent heart disease, stroke, and cancer. And then eventually the company fell apart. And the reason is because this compound doesn't work. Doesn't work. Resveratrol does not improve longevity. So that's the context. That's why I wanted to post this as well as looking at this. But some interesting questions got brought up because people are accusing me of different things, which is funny, but I want to address it. So the first guy in the comments section says, I'd say maybe I should eat a stick of butter, but we both know that probably is not the answer. I think you presented this well. People need to know the evidence presented by research is often in flux, and if they feel otherwise, just wait or hope for favorable studies. Fair enough. And there's this other guy who says, yeah, are there situations unrelated to longevity where those supplements would be beneficial? I don't know the answer to that. I'm talking about just in terms of longevity, the longevity claims. That's all. All right, in mice. All right, this guy says longevity food. Same goes for seed oils as far as outcomes. I think it would depend on the seed oil, but also mice don't freaking get cardiovascular disease that much. You know what I mean? So it's not like it's going to save them from cardiovascular disease, because they're not going to die of cardiovascular disease as far as seed oils. Although I'd be interested in that person actually providing a source. Maybe I'll type that out. Can you provide a citation? The other thing is each seed oil is quite different. Each seed oil has very different physiological effects. So how can you see seed oils in general? Some of them will probably reduce longevity. They'll cause cancer and stuff in mice because because of effects that have nothing to do with seed oils in humans, according to everything we know in humans. But in mice, mice respond very differently to seed oils than humans do. Okay, so this one guy named Ang Y Wong, and this is what I wanted to address. He says, I believe you are against extrapolating rodent research conclusions to humans. So why this? Oh, okay, so I'm just looking at some other people. Why is this? Well, it's very simple. First reason, we're never gonna have a human longevity study like this, probably. We're probably not gonna have it anytime soon. So the question is, what do we do now? Given we don't have the human studies, what do we do now? That's like the first thing. Second thing is like you need animal studies first to know whether or not you should even do a human study. And basically the human studies are never gonna get done. Human studies are never gonna get done. Because if the animal studies are null, nobody's gonna care about the humans. The reason is in all these cases, the pathways, the metabolic pathways and the molecular pathways are gonna be conserved. They're gonna be the same between humans and mice. And if they're the same between humans and mice, and there's no effect, there's no benefit in mice, then we're not gonna do the trials in humans. Because in mice, you're gonna see a much larger benefit than in humans. The shorter the lifespan of the model organism, or the organism, the longer the longevity benefit. That's how these things work. So in humans, it's gonna be quite hard to detect any benefit unless the benefit in mice is freaking huge. So therefore, we can know there's not gonna be any trials. We don't need to really pay attention to these as potential longevity treatments because there's not going to be any trials, because there's no reason to do trials if there's not an effect in mice. So if it's something like that where we're not going to expect to see anything in humans anytime soon, probably ever, for these molecules now, and the studies are very robust and rigorous, and they show no effect, we can use these studies to inform us about what we think is likely to happen in humans as sort of a risk, a way of looking at risk. It's like, okay, it probably doesn't have an effect in humans, and we're never gonna really know because we're never gonna do these studies now. But almost overwhelmingly, it'll be the case that it won't have any effect in humans based on what we see in these studies. Okay, that's like the first thing. The second thing is what if they turn up positive? Like something turned up positive here. Like the resveratrol turned up positive. Should we all then start taking resveratrol? That would be an individual choice. Would I start taking resveratrol? Probably, because I'm weird like that. Like, it depends on the side effect profile, but if I didn't have any bad side effects, probably. Would I recommend that other people? No, because it's not really studied in a positive human trial. So that's like a more unclear case. Whenever it's negative, the results are negative, you can be like, it's not a big deal. Just don't even pay attention to it. When it's positive, it's more of an issue because I'm not sure how to recommend things to people in this case. I would say probably I wouldn't recommend it, but I would like be honest about what I'm doing. And here's another consideration. Just because I'm doing something doesn't mean that other people need to do it, right? The reason I do things is because I'm weird. I enjoy experimenting. I enjoy that. I like to seek novelty and learn about things. It's not necessarily because I think it'll help. Like I'm not very risk averse. I love risk. I love jumping into things. You shouldn't do something that I do because I'm not necessarily doing it because it's necessarily beneficial or rational. I might just be doing it because I'm interested in like learning more about it and I just want to try something, right? So just because I do it doesn't mean you should do it. Even if I did do it, and I don't, but even if I did, you shouldn't listen to me anyway, because you're not me, right? Your values, your reasons for doing things are not the same as mine. So that's not a good reason to do things anyway. But I think the situation, if it's a positive result, is much less clear, especially in these rigorous studies like the ITP. Three different trial locations, bunch of different mice, and then you see a rigorous effect or a robust effect, it's a little bit more unclear what I'm supposed to do with that as far as talking to the public and telling the public about it. Like do I advise people to do it? I don't know. Okay, so, that's what I would say. That's how I look at mouse studies, how I look at they can inform us. Mainly it has to do with whether or not we're gonna have the human studies anytime soon. and if it's a negative or not trial. Now, if we're not going to have the human disease anytime soon, it's a positive trial, we have to think more carefully. And fortunately, this is not positive, because then I don't have to think about that so much. If it was positive, yeah, I'd have to be like very serious about how I talk about it. But if it's negative, it's easy. It's like, okay. So that's why I can extrapolate from this mouse study, because it's negative, essentially, and it's a rigorous. So I hope that answers your question, Ingwai Ong. If it doesn't, like, let me know so that I can then answer it. It'd be cool. And then this one woman said, Dalia Gallagher, she said, are you in agreement with this, or are you just stating the conclusions? And I said, well, those are my words, and I agree with my words. I was like, what are you talking about? Like, these are my words. Like, yeah, I'm just, like, yeah, I'm kind of interpreting the study and, like, giving you my interpretation. So this other guy says, ITP is awesome. ITP is awesome. I wish curcumin had added a piperine, which increases the absorption 20-fold in humans. Probably still nothing, or Indians would be living forever. This human study in smokers is interesting. It has to do with mutagens. And then Logan Roy says, love Dr. Bass. Facts not fiction. Always sound research-based. Snake oil salesman beware. I'm not Dr. Bass. I'm Mr. Bass right now. And this other guy says, Nungwa Thanos, now science in itself has been corrupted. We don't know what to trust anymore. Propagandists everywhere. I'm not a propagandist. I'm telling you the real deal. I'm telling you this is, like, legit. This is, like, a legit, like, this is, like, ITP is almost universally respected, if not universally respected among scientists, and universally respected among good scientists. Oh, and here's what Tam says. So you infer mouse studies are to be believed on humans when it suits your narrative. No, I'm not implying, by the way, it's implying, not inferring, but whatever. I'm not implying that mouse studies are to be believed here. I explained why. It's because it's negative, it's a rigorous trial, and we're not gonna get the results of humans anytime soon. I kind of like this response. I don't know if I fully agree with it, but it's, like, interesting. This guy says, positives in mice have less chance to imply positive in humans than negative in mice to imply negative effect to humans. Because there's more ways for something not happening than there are ways for something happening. It's statistics. It's kind of like what I said. I kind of like that point. It's an interesting point. Although I don't fully understand it, because I don't think, I don't fully understand it, but it sounds like something I would like. And this one guy is a researcher, he's a PhD, says, LOL, and also, despite 120 clinical trials of curcumin in several different disease conditions, no double-blinded placebo-controlled trial has ever been successful. And same with resveratrol and the rest. Very little evidence of health benefits in humans. Boom. There you have it, my friends. My hair doesn't look too bad. It's, like, messed up. There you have it. So, but I like the rigor of this study and, like, the fact that they did it at three different sites, and it's unusual, so I thought this was cool. And I also did a bunch of, it showed, like, five different classes of things at the same time, useful or not useful. So that's the study, and that is the, let's see how to respond. Cool. So, yeah, that's the study. That's the explanation of how to use mouse studies. It's situational. You don't want to use mouse studies if you can avoid it. You want to use human studies, but if you can't avoid it, and that's, like, the data that you have. Yeah, a really rigorously done mouse study, I would trust more than an epidemiological study for something that we would expect to have conserved pathways in humans. I would trust it more. Especially, like, negative studies, but even positive studies, like rigorously done positive studies, I'm interested. And I think they trump human studies. This is my opinion, and a lot of, like, people are going to be like, no, that's not right. But it's interesting. Maybe on a similar level, it's a different kind of evidence, but sometimes you need to take it seriously if that's all you have. And then you need to figure out what you're going to do based on all you have and all the information you have at that point. So, yeah, as I said, I hope you like this video. Check me out on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, as well as Patreon, Kevin and Bass, KevinNBass. Check my podcast out at The Kevin Bass Show. Check my YouTube out at Kevin Bass, KBass Philadelphia. Kevin Bass Show, you wanna go to Apple Podcasts and rate, review that dude, because I need you guys to jack up the ratings. That would be super helpful. Same on Spotify. Leave a comment, like, share, ask questions. become a patron on Patreon. You become a patron on Patreon, send me a message over Twitter or Instagram to get my attention. Tell me your Patreon on Patreon and ask me some questions, and I will answer them. If you have the top tier patronage on Patreon, then you can talk to me for about 30 to 45 minutes a month about any issue of your liking, or we can help you to resolve it and understand more about it. But most of the time, I would like for people who sign up for that to talk about the things that are relevant, directly related to some of the stuff I've been putting videos about and posting about. Cool beans. So, with all that said, I'm gonna go do some Western blotting now. I almost look like I'm falling asleep. I'm gonna take a nap. It's 9:45 p.m. I'm gonna go take a nap real quick, Western blotting, do some Western blotting late into the beautiful night. And Western blotting is just a way of looking at proteins in certain experiments and seeing how they're changing. I'm gonna go do that late into the night, like a beast, a science beast. And I hope you guys have a good time. I hope you guys check out the rest of these episodes and listen. And peace out, my friends. Bye-bye.